What's up, everyone? My name is Eric Davis, managing editor of Movies.com, and we're here to talk Skyfall, the new James Bond movie is coming out. And it's coming out in a couple of weeks, I think October 26th in the UK, and then it's coming out November 9th in the US. There was a big junket screening for press for Skyfall over the weekend, and I guess the studio was happy enough with the film because reviews are just pouring out of the junket. Sometimes we see that when a studio is very happy with a movie, they'll let reporters talk about the film, but most of the time we don't hear about the film right after the junket or while the junket's happening. Usually there'll be an embargo for a week or two, but that is not the case with Skyfall. Sony is going for it, and people seem to love it. I have not seen the film yet, but I have brought on Sean O'Connell, who's done a lot of these little podcasts with me. He's writes for Movies.com. He writes for Fandango. He writes for a bunch of other sites. What's up, Sean?
Hey, Eric. Good to be with you.
Glad to have you here. Now, usually when I do these sorts of things, I've seen the film too, and so we have this discussion. But because it's so far out from release, I wanted to have this because I wanted to give readers an idea of what is coming up, but I wanted to kind of approach it from the vantage point of someone who hasn't seen it, because mostly everyone listening to this hasn't seen this film yet, and so I want to ask questions that people who haven't seen the film yet might have, and I don't want to spoil anything for anyone. I know you're excited about the film, so let's kind of talk generally about the film without spoiling anything. And what I want to start out with and ask you is, you know, Casino Royale was an amazing movie. I loved it. It's probably one of my favorite James Bond movies, if not my favorite James Bond movie. Quantum of Solace followed that up. Didn't really resonate with me. Didn't resonate with a lot of people. Kind of felt like kind of a half sequel, almost like something that should have been tacked on to Casino Royale, but they didn't have room for it. So they took all the extra stuff they didn't have room for in Casino Royale and put it in Quantum of Solace. And it just didn't really work. Here comes Skyfall. And I think people are kind of on the fence. Is this another Casino Royale? Is this another Quantum of Solace? What do you think?
It's way closer to Casino Royale than it is to Quantum of Solace. I mean, I wouldn't even try to compare it to Quantum. It's much more in line with Casino. I think I agree exactly with everything that you said so far. I love Casino Royale. I mean, I just adore everything about that. I think the tone of it is so great. I think the pacing of it is great. The way they handle the action is fantastic. The introduction of Daniel Craig as Bond is so great. When I say I don't love Skyfall as much as I love that, I think it's just because I don't know if I can really love another Bond film as much as Casino. It just shook me like out of the doldrums that the last few Brosnan ones sort of left me in, because they were really disappointing. And I'd almost kind of given up on Bond as a franchise. I think in the last Brosnan one, he's like windsurfing on a melting glacier. And I was like, you know what? This franchise is pretty done. It's just too silly. They've kind of lost track of what the character means. And Casino just completely rebooted it so perfectly that I think any other film that comes after is going to have a really hard time of living up to it. That being said, Skyfall is like 1A. I mean, Sam Mendes, who directs it, is clearly a huge fan of the franchise, and he just understands what makes it work. It's its own little standalone film. It didn't try to do what Quantum did by continuing the story, but it very much fits into what they're trying to do with Daniel Craig. And it works really, really well.
So I guess that's a good question to kind of lead into it. You know, Casino Royale and Quantum are this continuing story. Skyfall does not pick up where that story left off. Does Skyfall mention anything from the previous films, or are we kind of still on this story, or are we wiping our slate clean, remembering who Daniel Craig is as James Bond and where he's at, and moving forward with a completely different story, sure, different villain? I mean, is the villain and he's tied into the other network of villain?
No. And in fact, I wanted to revisit Quantum of Solace before I saw Skyfall, and I was going to bring it with me on the plane, but I only had it in Blu-ray form, and so I couldn't watch it on my laptop. And I was kind of thankful, because I didn't really want to see it again, because it's a mess. And I just want to share a real funny story. a junket friend of mine walked into the Daniel Craig interview and he said, you know, hey, Mr. Craig, Skyfall and Casino Royale are two of my favorite Bond movies ever. And Craig said, what, not Quantum of Solace? And my friend just kind of smiled. And Daniel Craig said, you have good taste. So I think he kind of acknowledges that it just didn't work out, you know. And I blame Mark Forster a lot for that because I just don't think he could direct action and it was a mess of a screenplay. But they did set up a big overreaching amount. I thought that, like, Quantum, there was going to be a group that was going to be as big as Spectre or supposed to be an overreaching sort of threat. And that's not mentioned in Skyfall at all.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they just pulled the plug on it or if it's going to surface later. But I don't remember enough about Quantum of Solace to remember. I just know there was a bigger organization that was going to come into play. And that doesn't factor into Skyfall at all.
And it's almost like, you know, and I'm kind of glad that you're saying that to me because maybe this is me and maybe others feel that way, but for James Bond movies, it's almost like I like the wham, bam, thank you, ma'am with each one. I don't need this ongoing continuing storyline. When it pertains to the character himself, like I like maybe a story arc for Daniel Craig as James Bond. But in terms of the villains he's facing and like just a wider network, and now here's another guy that's tied to this. I don't feel like I need that in James Bond movies, especially when they're so far apart. I sort of like the one-offs, you know, just this is a new mission and this is what he's got to do. And when he solves this mission, it's over. I mean,
all right, then you're absolutely going to love this because without giving too much of it away, I was surprised at how small the story is. You would think that it's really big, but it's a very, very focused story. And I think that is in direct response to people just saying Quantum of Solace was too confusing and we don't know what you were trying to do with it, but there were too many threads that were overlapping and it didn't make any sense. So they just streamlined a very simple but a very compelling story that has to do a lot with M and how Bond is going to sort of come to her aid. And I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, now a lot of people are buzzing about Javier Bardem. He's, you know, when I think his No Country for Old Men, when he played the villain in that one, it sort of made other people want to put him as the villain in their movies.
Right.
I think not since No Country for Old Men have we seen him, at least visually. I haven't really – I've been kind of staying away from the clips as much because I want to sort of go into this as fresh as I can. But it seems at least visually it sort of reminds me immediately of No Country for Old Men. What kind of villain is he in this one? Is he better than he is in that movie? What do you think?
Different. In the Coen Brothers film, he's such a shark that's just moving through the water, and nobody wants to even get in his path, essentially, because he's so lethal. This is different. This is more of – people are going to make a lot of comparisons. And again, this is tough to sort of dance around without giving too much of it away. But people are going to make comparisons to the Joker character in The Dark Knight. And it's really funny because now that we've seen three Daniel Craig films, if you're going to make a comparison to anything, you really can make a comparison to Nolan's Batman trilogy. Mm-hmm. Because there are milestones that Craig hits in each of the three films, and the way that this third one concludes, and I'm not going to say anything, you could take the first three Craig standalone films and they would exist as a unit. Mendes does a tremendous job of sort of bringing it all together. And it's really funny because it's not intentional, but it's a great sort of capsule of this is the character. So fitting into that, Bardem is without question the most memorable villain that not only Craig has faced, but I think that Bond has faced in a very, very long time. He's one of those guys that he doesn't get a ton of screen time, but every single minute he's on screen, you can't help but just watch him with your mouth hanging open because he is owning everything. And Mendes gives him a great monologue from the very first time you see him. He's stepping out of an elevator. You've seen it in the trailer. Craig is tied to a chair. Bardem's approaching him, talking about Mama being bad. But it's a long monologue, and it's an unbroken shot. And I wanted to ask Bardem how many times he had to do it, but it's just so great. He's such an amazing actor. He puts a spin on it to turn him into like a fey sort of maybe homosexual villain. I mean, it's some of it is implied, maybe not necessarily. But he views Bond as a contemporary. He's also a former MI6 agent. And it's just their interplay is so fantastic. What you realize what a good actor Daniel Craig can be when he has someone to bounce scenes off of, and Bardem's a great foil for him.
That's great. Now, I know action sequences are a big thing with the James Bond movies. Sure. One of my all-time favorites. I mean, I keep going back to Casino Royale, but I just freaking love that movie. Mm-hmm. But the chase in the Bahamas, I love that scene, and where, you know, it ends in the construction set. How are the action sequences in this? Do we have stuff that top Casino Royale? Do we have stuff that top all the Bond movies? I mean, do they go that extra mile, or do we feel like the action sequences are on par with what we've seen before?
No. I'll tell you what Mendes does. And again, I keep thinking that so much of this is just in reaction to what people said with Quantum, because the way that they were edited in Quantum of Solace, you couldn't tell anything that was going on. These are much smoother. Mendes knows how to pull his camera back and to show you everything that's going on. And he has massive action set pieces. So you're so thankful that he is giving you the moment to do it, because a lot of the clips that we've seen with, and again, I'm trying to rely on things that you've seen in trailers already. So there's the fight on top of the train with the crane that's chopping the train in half, which has what I think is the quintessential Bond shot that Daniel Craig has had over three films, which is him landing on the train and straightening out his cufflink. And I asked him about it, and he actually said he's kind of pissed that made it into the trailers, because he was so happy with the way that it turned out. And he does think it's such a great, just a Bond moment, that when he wanted fans to really get it in the context of the scene. And so he was a little bit disappointed, but it just worked so well. But it's really funny after that. And this is kind of the formula of Bond. There's a huge, huge opening. Then things sort of settle down, because there is a story to be told and there's a lot of character work in this one. And then it sort of ramps up and gets sort of explosive in this third act. But when you get a lot, it's not a ton of action like scattered throughout it, and you don't miss it. Like, there's a good fight in the middle. There's a ton of action at the end of it. And Mendes handles it all so well that you're, again, just really thank that he's pulling back and showing you these big sequences, because but I mean, the beginning, that opening chase sequence, and essentially, I don't think this is giving too much of it away, there is something that's stolen from a laptop, and Bond shows up, and he's, the laptop's already been basically infiltrated, so he has to chase after the agent who's taken it, and it starts on motorcycles, it's switched cars, it jumps onto the trains. The opening sequence of this, I mean, there are hundreds of films that would kill to have a conclusion that's half as thrilling as the opening of this scene is. So yeah, they get it right.
That's great. That's good to hear. Bond movies always have great openings, and that's part of the reason why they're so memorable. And
see, so much of this, the physicality of it, it's really them on trains, and it's, we got to see a lot of the production scenes that we were sitting in the lobby for the junket, you know, when you're hanging out waiting, they have it on a TV and they're showing you how they're putting these things together. Like, that's really Daniel Craig. He does a lot of his own stunts. They're really using trains. It's not a lot of blue screen. I'm sure there's some, but even when you're watching it, you can't really, like, there's part of that chase sequence where it's motorcycles going over the roofs of apartment buildings, and they're legitimate motorcycles riding over legitimate roofs. It's not stage work, and you can tell. You can see the difference.
Let me touch fast on the new characters in this. Q is introduced in this as kind of a young hacker, it sort of seems from the previews. Right. How is he in this? How's Ben Whishaw in this?
He's really good. They're clearly setting him up for, you know, just to have him around as the franchise expands. He's a necessary character. It's one of those things where, again, they're sort of winking at the audience, because when he hands Bond the new tools of the trade, they have a pretty good interplay where it's really just like a gun and a microchip so that they can be traced. And Bond gives him a look and he's like, well, what did you want? Like an exploding pen? Like, we don't do that kind of thing anymore. And it's just funny because, like, you and I were having this conversation earlier about, like, where does this Bond fit into the history of it all? And I don't think that Daniel Craig, and maybe this is his influence, or maybe it's just what the producers think fit with the time right now. He's interested in giving a realistic portrayal of this spy. And the questions asked by this film, the bigger questions asked by this film, and it's really funny because when we first met Daniel Craig in Casino Royale, everything was like, younger Bond, more physical Bond. We finally got a Bond who's like fists first and not trying to be so suave and sophisticated, but really just going to jump into the action. two films later, they're already asking, like, is it time to put Bond out to pasture? Has he lost a step? Because there are all these questions about he's getting older, he's failing his evaluations. And I think that they're trying to reestablish the character, but they have to put him through all these different processes first. And so when they bring in a younger Q, it's sort of like, I don't want to talk too much about it without giving too much of it away, but they are still just sort of establishing it. Like, we're now we're going to have this younger version of Q, and how is he going to interplay with an older Bond?
I think it's also important to keep showing Bond's faults and his weaknesses. You know,
yeah.
I think when you have this super spy, and you could easily fall into this kind of process where you're making these films and it's just a super spy and he can go and go crazy, and there's you kind of lose the human part of him. And
well, isn't that what was so great about Casino, is that he was always like one step behind, you know?
Yeah. And you also and you also see him fall in love in Casino Royale too, which is something that we never see from James Bond. And you kind of see his emotional weaknesses, and I think they have to keep doing that in each film from now on, because I think that's what helps tie people to James Bond as a character, and it helps you want to see more films in the series, I think.
Right. Yeah. Well, and what always is going to define Bond, I think, is having a compelling villain to go up against. And even if it's just for a standalone one, he needs to have a legitimate reason for having to sort of rise up and fight back against somebody. And I don't think he had it in Quantum of Solace. He definitely has it here in Skyfall, but I will be really interested to find out what direction they go from here. I hope that – truthfully, I hope Sam Mendes signs up to do at least one more. And if they're smart, he'll do another one right away.
Yep.
There was always some continuity with directors back when Roger Moore was doing it and Sean Connery had the same director. But Brosnan sort of got the shaft. You know, like Martin Campbell will come around and he'll do GoldenEye and it's really good, or he'll do Casino and it's really, really good, but then he doesn't do another one. Mendes understands the character and really understands the franchise, and I hope to God he does another one.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could look at it a couple of different ways. I know that there's already word out of the junket that they want to try to do, you know, try to put this one together a little bit quicker than the last one. But, you know, sometimes you say, okay, great, let's get another Bond in 2 years, but does that sacrifice the script? Are they pushing out something that maybe shouldn't be pushed out just to get people a new James Bond movie? You know, Casino Royale was brilliant. They pushed out Quantum. It wasn't good. Skyfall, a lot of people love. Are they going to now force a new one out to get it out faster, and it's not going to be as good as the previous one? It's always hard when you have a really good film, because you look forward, you have, yeah, great, I have a great film, but now it puts that much more pressure on the next one.
Right. No, it's true. And I think with Brosnan, GoldenEye was probably his best, and it was his first one out the gate. With Craig, Casino Royale is definitely his best, but they've just about matched it with Skyfall, man. I'm telling you, it's really close to being as good as Casino.
Do you want to keep watching Daniel Craig as James Bond?
Absolutely. And in fact, this is the first time that I feel like he completely inhabits the role and inhabits the role that we've come to know. It's really fun. Like, I loved his take on it, on the agent in Casino, because he wasn't yet Bond.
Mm-hmm.
And he became Bond in those last few minutes where, you know, he stands over the guy and holds the gun up and is able to deliver his line. But then I really think he just got shortchanged by Quantum. And that's unfair to him, because when you see him in this and the way that he occupies the persona of James Bond as we know it, the confidence, but still a little bit, you know, a step short in some places. This is the most complete vision of him being James Bond, which is why I'm saying, like, now that he's done three and he really nails it in this one, you're right. I'm a little bit hesitant to see what they do with him next, because, A, I do want them to sort of hurry up and get another one into theaters if it can be as good as this one. But you're right. If they rush, it might not be. And it's not always – I guess Quantum taught us it's not always up to Craig. Like, yeah, he could be really good in it, but he could get a hack director, a bad screenwriter, a villain who just doesn't live up to our expectations. All these things count against him. I guess it's just when you see it play out with a director who really understands the rules of the franchise and what fans are hoping to get from each installment, and it works, it really sings. But then you do take the risk of getting something that just sort of falls on its face.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we shouldn't look too much into the future. We should thank our lucky stars that we have excellent Bond movie coming into theaters, according to you and according to a lot of people, is coming out. I know we wanted to touch on another Bond subject, but maybe after the film comes out, I'll bring you back and we'll delve into that, because I think we can talk for a little while on that note. Sean O'Connell, thank you so much for stopping by. I'm really happy you liked Skyfall. And I mean, is there anything left that you want to leave people with before they see Skyfall? Go in thinking, feeling what?
Well, don't read stuff going into it. There are a couple of big spoilers that I'm impressed haven't gotten out yet. So if you can do radio silence until you see it, try and avoid as many reviews or potentially spoilery columns. We tried to really dance around stuff here. Try and see it clean. But it's great, great, great for Bond fans, and I think you're really going to enjoy how it came out.
Great. Sean O'Connell, you can catch him over at movies.com. You can catch him on Fandango. You catch him all over the place. The guy is all over the place. Thank you, Sean, for sticking around. Skyfall comes out UK October 26th, US November 9th. Take care. We'll talk soon.